name is Julio Firpo. Today is Wednesday, April 6th, 2011. The time is 2:19 p.m. I am from the University of Central Florida History Department, and today I will be interviewing
Marva Y. Hawkins. It is my privilege to have you interview me about the neighborhood that I live in called Goldsboro, an area that I have been familiar with for many, many years. I was born and raised in the Goldsboro area. Also, I was born in the house that I now live in. My parents were Anderson and Bessie Nuttall Hawkins. My father and mother were proprietors of Hawkins Meat Market on West 13th Street for many, many years. I have lived in this neighborhood on West 13th Street in the house where I now reside for 75 years. I know Goldsboro like the back of my hand. I grew up on 13th Street, which at that time and during those years was an area that was real, real active to the black neighborhood. I can begin with 13th Street being a very, very active street, where during those years you could walk the streets and it was very safe. Young people had places to go, one place to go, which was called Snarkies. And the streets were real safe. You know, it was like family. Everybody knew everybody. And not only did we know the people on 13th Street, but with my father and mother running the grocery store, we knew a lot of people from other streets who came to trade with us in our grocery store. We were well aware of what their work habits were, because this was a farming area in Sanford, and the people would get up early in the mornings and go to work like 5 and 5:30 in the mornings. We would say catch the truck to go to Wasdale and other places like that to cut celery. And Sanford being a celery city, they also had the opportunity of cutting celery in Sanford. So a lot of those persons who did that kind of work traded with us and prepared themselves to get what was needed to make their lunch for the day. And then they would leave out to go to work. We not only had clients from the black neighborhood, we had clients also from the white neighborhood, with being a meat market where we had fresh meat, fresh chickens that we killed and sold fresh. And in my family, it was my mother and father, two brothers, and myself, me being the baby, the youngest, shall I say. Okay. My father was a member of St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church on the east side of town. My mother and I and brothers attended First Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church, which was right across the street from where we live at 1004 West 13th Street. So it was closer for me to be sent to Sunday school, and my mother could come to church afterwards. She was an active person in the community. She was a member of the Voters League. She was a member of other organizations that were organizations that saw about the well building and bettering of the citizens of the community, shall I say it like that. And she was well known, along with my father, in this community. I know Goldsboro as a place where on Saturday evenings our friends would come up and sit in front of the place, where grocery store that we had, and the kids could play around and visit with one another. As we grew up, we ventured out to the activities that were in the community. And as we grew up, we attended the kindergartens that were held. I went to kindergarten at the church basement where I went to church. I went to elementary school at what is known as the Goldsboro Red School. It is now known as Goldsboro Elementary. I went to Crooms Academy, which is now known as Crooms School of Technology. And we walked to those places because they were in our neighborhood and in walking distance. The neighbors in the community knew you and knew kids, and as you grew up, everybody knew everybody. And we were well aware that it does take a village to raise children, to raise a child. And when you were spoken to by an adult, you paid attention to what they were saying, because if you didn't when you got home, you would know you should have. Okay, there were some things in our community that needed to be addressed as far as making it better for the workers in the community, because a lot of people that worked on the farm went to the north in the summertime to work, because there was very little work in Seminole and Sanford during the summertime. So they would go north, like to Rochester, New York, and Reading, New York, and places like that, in Florida, New York, to work. And they were being carried up on the back of trucks. And my mother, Bessie Hawkins, was instrumental, along with some of the other citizens of this neighborhood, to see that the people that those people were working for got buses for them to go on, instead of standing up and sitting on the back of the trucks those thousands of miles to go and work in the summertime. So that was one of the very instrumental things that really needed to be done in our community to make things better for the farm workers. And we began to get paved streets. We had policemen. We had two black policemen, a policeman whose name was Mr. Sutton. Willie Sutton was the first black policeman we had, and we had another little fella. He was an older guy. His name was Mr. Ben. He was not really a certified policeman, but he was sort of like a night watchman and whatnot. He did not carry a gun. And we businesses in Sanford and on 13th Street progressed as things went along. We had, starting at the beginning of 13th Street and French Avenue, we had restaurants. We had places of entertainment. We had a flower shop. We had a kindergarten where a Mrs. Maud Collins taught kindergarten and also summer school for those persons who needed to kind of catch up on their schoolwork during the summer. We had beauty shop with Alfreda Wallace. We had a sundry shop with Mr. and Mrs. Bostick. We had this, during that time they called them beer gardens, and his name was Johnny Hall. We also had in that area a funeral home, which was William's funeral home. We had a service station where a lot of the men would come and sit and talk to him, Mr. John Daniels, who owned the service station. And there is where a lot of improvements for Goldsboro area took place, when the citizens would gather and just sit around, men would gather and just sit around and talk about what was needed in our community. And Mr. Daniels was a very well-known person. He also ran a laundromat there in that area. And we had a family who lived across the street whose name was Early and Mary Hall, and they had a daughter named Martha. And he was in the cement business. He did a lot of stucco and cement work. And we had a restaurant in that area that a Mrs. Cooper ran. And then we had a grocery store in that area, which was also the Hawkins grocery store. And then years later we had a grocery store that was named Miss Mac's grocery store. And then we, after Miss Mac's grocery store went out of business, we had a car repair place, the Gibson's Auto Body Shop. Then we had a Cuz Clock beer garden, as I said they called them during that time. And as we move on up, there was Snow's Restaurant, which was run by Mr. Wesley and Willie Wright for years. Then we had little restaurant and like little store that was ran by Bertha and Albert Spann. We had a theater that was put there and built for the black neighborhood. And it's no longer there, but the building is still there. And we had Minots, the Minots, James and Julia Minot, owned some of the property in that area, and they had stores up under them. They had a music shop that was called Joe Knott's Music Shop, where the black kids could come up and be taught how to play the piano and to sing, because the young man who was the miner's grandson, whose name was Earl, he was a music teacher at the high school, so he had his shop there. Then we had a big grocery store, and we do have quite a few churches in this area. And the names of the churches in the 1000 block area would be First Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church, and we now have the Tabernacle of Prayer Church, New Mount Calvary Church, Missionary Baptist Church, and right down the street is Allen Chapel AME Church. And we move on down a little further, and we have the Cherry Plaza. We have a dentist, Mr. Errol Cherry, and we also had a cleaning and tailoring business. The tailoring business was by Taylor, Mr. Smith, Ian Smith, and the cleaning business was McCoy's Cleaners. And then we had Jimmy Lee Davis Beauty Shop, and we had Mr. Martin's Sundry. Those places are not still there, but they are in our minds and in our remembrances of when we were growing up. We had those places, and 13th Street was a very popular street and a busy street.
Were those places there from the beginning when you grew up?
Yes.
And until when did they start closing down?
About 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Yeah. In between, 20 to 30 years in between, things, you know, started deteriorating and whatnot.
So those businesses were there for a long time.
Yeah, they were there for a long time, especially when we were growing up. But all of them are not there now. That's right. Why I say we had.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But then the churches, the two AME and Baptist churches, on 12th Street and 12th and Olive. But I'm not only interested in what's on 13th Street, I'm interested in the entire Goldsboro area, because we have a lot of history throughout the Goldsboro area. Not only did the people live on 13th Street, we had more businesses on 13th Street, and well-known historical people lived on the other streets and in the other areas of Goldsboro. So if you want to ask me some questions, you may do so.
Thank you.
I can finish 13th Street out for you.
Well, I guess my first question would be, what was it like growing up? You mentioned a little bit.
It was like you felt safe. You slept with your front doors open. Maybe you locked your screen, but you didn't worry about people breaking in on you and whatnot. And the world is just like that now everywhere. I'm sure there's nobody that sleeps with your door open nowadays. But we used to could do that. And we used to could, it would be so nice and quiet in your community, till I could go to visit my friend And my mom could come to the end of the sidewalk and call me, and I could hear her. And her mom could come to the end of the sidewalk and call her, and we could hear her up here. And we could walk places by ourselves and wouldn't be afraid to go anything. The railroad came right straight down through the middle of Goldsboro, and the railroad station was back up there. So sometime for entertainment, late nights, you couldn't sleep. You walk up and see who's leaving on the train or who's coming in on the train. That was the kind of way, that was the closeness that we had in the community. And there were, you had your teachers around you. My teacher lived right behind me. My English teacher in school lived right behind me. And then I had music teacher right down the street there. And I had another teacher. As you came through the educational system, they were close by. They talked to your parents. They called your parents. Some of us had telephones, you know, and they could call and talk to you. A lot of the teachers traded with my mom and dad in the grocery store, so they knew me well enough if I wasn't getting where I needed to go. They could say, well, Mama, you need to get such and such place. But the good thing about it back then, in those days, parents and teachers communicated better. And the children weren't arrogant to adults. We really listened. And then we all went to church together. We went to church as a family. We were eager to go to Sunday school. We were eager to go to church conventions and stuff, because you learned from your experience. Now, and I not only knew people that traded with us, there were the Girl Scouts, and the Boy Scouts, and other little organizations, 4-H's, and organizations that we had when I got in high school, that we got the experience of learning how to do things, cook, sew, you know, various things, and the exposure of going to other places to see what other kids did. I was in the band at school, so that helped me to travel.
What did you play?
Mellophone, of all the things. Mellophone. They used to call me Mr. Poop Poop. I was, most times, it had three keys. And most of what I did was poop, poop. So, anyway, it was fun along with really learning things that could get you places in life. And I walked to school. I walked right straight down 13th Street to Crooms Academy. And now you're getting to my age. I graduated 1954. Crooms Academy? What is that y'all go to? It was an exceptional school. We had a principal and assistant principal and teachers who really cared about you. Our principal was Mr. J.N. Crooms, and his wife was assistant principal, and her name was Wealthy Crooms. And they didn't play. They made sure that you learned. We had teachers out there. Yes, it was an all-black school at that time, to a time for integration. But everybody knew everybody, and they didn't give you a time to mess up in learning. They had it there for you, and you had to get it. And when you got to 12th grade, you had to really have accomplished something in order to walk down that aisle and get that diploma, which we would be real proud when you got in 12th grade to say you're going to graduate. that year. So it has been named a couple of times, Crooms High School. It has been changed to that. And it is now back to Crooms Academy of Technology, where now they have, you know, computers and all of that kind of stuff. But we're proud to say we went to Crooms Academy. It means something. It sounds like we went to a big academy that has thousands of people. But it was just a place where we loved. We just had a grand reunion where around 500 people attended. They came from all over the world to this affair in December. They came from California, New York City, Rochester, New York, Detroit, Chicago, other parts of Florida, to see and greet their classmates. And you're talking about somebody had a good time. There were people who were so glad to see people that they haven't seen since they graduated. And I've been out of school 50 plus years, and I saw something I hadn't seen since I graduated. So you know how happy I was and how happy other people were to see their classmates that they hadn't graduated. They hadn't seen them. But this activity goes on every 3 years. And this is the second one that we've had. But there have been other reunions with, you know, just one class and whatnot like this. But this was the whole school of Crooms Academy in Crooms High School.
Reunion?
It was December. Give me that orange bag right there. It was the some people here. This is what it's called. It was called the Grand Reunion 2010. And it was, we had committees and everything. We had a chairman whose name was Sherilyn Brinson. Sherilyn Jackson Brinson. She was the chairman. And then we had co-chairmen, and then we had committees of various alumni who's left here. They did the committees, and we had any number of committees and stuff. And I'll probably put my hand on it before you leave. Anyway, that's how we let you know that Crooms is still on the map. And we now have an organization called the Earl E. Minot Scholarship. And we're going to give a scholarship to Crooms Academy in this guy's, in Earl E. Minot's name, who was a student at Crooms at one time in 1949. 48, 49. He taught there after he got out of college. And he also taught at Seminole High, you know, when they integrated the schools. So this committee, this scholarship committee, is going to give a scholarship to a student from each one of these schools next month when they have the award night. And he, like I said, he taught. He went to school out there at Crooms Academy. He came back and he taught at Crooms Academy. And when integration came, they sent him to Seminole High, where he was a music teacher and one of the principals, the assistant principal. So we're having this scholarship money divided between both schools every year. Now, maybe I'm giving you a whole lot of history. It may not have to do with Goldsboro, but it got something to do with the people in Goldsboro.
So you graduated from Crooks.
Uh-huh.
What did you end up doing from there?
My mother was sick. So I didn't go to school, but I went to a couple of classes that had to do with accounting. And I also got a job with the state that had to do with me taking some classes. So I don't have a degree in any one thing, but I have a degree in life. And that has carried me a long ways.
What job did you have?
What job did I have?
Yeah. You said that you had a job from the
state?
The state, yeah.
Okay. With the state, at first, I worked for the migrant clinic. And I was in charge of transportation. When I went directly to the state, I worked for Family Services. Okay, I also been an insurance agent. I took that test, and I was an insurance agent for 7 years. For 45 years, I have written a column for the Sanford Herald. They call it a correspondent for the Sanford Herald. That's what I've been doing. Ain't no money in it, but I love people. I love talking to people.
So, going back, let's go back to when you were growing up.
Okay.
So you mentioned that it's very lively street growing up. The community itself was very lively, very small, but very close-knit.
Right.
How did you guys relate to the outside community, such as Sanford itself?
Sanford? Well, you knew a lot of people in the Sanford Avenue area. I knew my doctor. My doctor was like a family friend. He was Dr. George Stark. He was a family friend. And my dentist, I knew my dentist real well. Dr. Strickland and Dr. Ringland. You know, it was Sanford was such a small, close-knit place till you got to know the people that were important in the town. Shall I say it like that? And there were some black people who were very important here. There were a doctor, and there were a Mr. D.C. Brock. He owned a lot of property. He lived on Sanford Avenue, and he was in real estate. There was a Mr. Refo. He was a tailor. And we knew him, and his son was a principal of a school, and his daughter-in-law was a teacher, and now his granddaughter is a retired educator from the junior college. Her name is Refo also. She is a married. But you got to know those people. You got to know the Croomses. You know, our principals of the school. You got to know your teachers. You got to know people who were not only, I won't say little people, but people who everybody won't know. But I had the privilege and pleasure of getting to meet a lot of people because of the business that my mom and dad was in. And because my mom was a community working person, I got to know a lot of people when I grew up, working with the church and with organizations in the community that I worked with, and I still work with a lot of them in the community. Because I'm a person who I need to see my community improving. It irks me when things are not going good and we are not getting what we should be getting. But it is getting better out here now. Because see, all these businesses used to be open. That one used to be a thriving restaurant. That one used to be a thriving shoe shop place. That one right there. And come get your shoes shined on your way to church on Sunday morning. Or either get them done Saturday evening, drop them off. Sundays, different stuff that you could get out of there and whatnot. But we got too many places closed up here. Anyway, it hurts that we don't have a cleaners out here anymore. It hurts that we don't have an ice cream parlor like we used to have. Miss Carrie used to make the ice cream, and on Sunday after church we could go into the ice cream parlor and sit down and eat ice cream. And we don't have beauty parlors like we used to have in places like that. I know things are not like they used to be, but some things could be better than they are. But then education wise, we got a lot of kids don't want to go to school. They just want to walk the street, wear the baggy pants. I don't want to see what color their undies are. I care less. Half of them dirty. They're not really gray, they're dirty. And I don't want to see that. Not because I'm older than you that I don't want to see you with your pants, baby. But I think you can become somebody important. You can be a important fella to me without your pants showing. And I know that you weren't trained like that. I can call your mama right now and ask her, did you let him wear his pants down? And she gonna say, lady, I don't know who you are, but no, I did not train him to wear his pants down. Because I can just look at you and tell your mother did not train you that way. And mothers haven't trained these kids that way, but they just deliberately wants to do it. Deliberately wants to do it. Don't want to go to school. Want to steal. We have all that in our community. That's why I got bars. They broke in on me so many times. The guy walks by here now and looks. And I know he said, I took what I wanted to take out of there. I sure can't get in there no more. Nope. Because I got bars. I had to put them up. It's a shame you know who broke in on you. Who broke and took your stuff. And they walked down the street tried to sell it to somebody. But they just don't. And it's not only in the black neighborhood. It's in the white neighborhood. It's everywhere. It's all over America that people don't want to work. And it's not because that Obama ain't got the jobs for them. There were no jobs a long time ago. And there were plenty of jobs and they wasn't going to them. That's just the way the world is.
Well, let me bring it back again.
Okay.
So, how about with the white community? How did Goldsboro sort of relate with the white community?
Well, there are always some whites who are concerned about the black community. And we had some mayors who were concerned. We had some chief of police who were concerned about what was going on out here. I was just, city police, chief just left. He did a number of things to make the relationship between the blacks and the whites better. But there were also some of us who just deliberately want to keep mess going. And maybe he didn't do everything that we wanted him to do, but at least he tried to work with us. He had meetings and whatnot. And then some things got done, because they used to sell it in front of my door. But I don't have that trouble anymore. They used to stand on the corner and sell it. But I have had people from the sheriff's department. The moment we gonna move them, they're gonna be gone after a while. They're gonna be gone. They try. And then we have had mayors to come out and meet with us and come to activities and stuff that we have. And they still see about us. With them not any longer being in the seat. Because Brady Lazard and the man that's over the airport out there. Oh God, if you didn't tell, I couldn't think of his name. Anyway, they come out the things we invite them to. You know, and they think about us. When they see us, they talk to us how things are going. Can we help you in any way? You know, we have a lot of people in the black communities. The superintendent of schools, he's concerned about what's happening in the black neighborhood. He'll come out here when you invite him to things. He ain't gonna just come, you know, he don't come out here, Mom, I just come out here and see what y'all need. You ain't gonna do that. But when they have a meeting, they'll show up to him, you invite them. But it's just that time now that there's no money. Things not going good for a lot of people, including their side.
How about when you were younger? How was the relationship between the two?
Blacks and whites?
Yes.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty good. Some things we got, and some things we didn't get.
Did you interact a lot with whites back then?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Sure.
How they treat you?
They treated me fine. They're not going to invite me to the house and sit down and have no dinner with them. But I knew them. They were friendly.
So let's go back. So you graduated Crooms. You started working in different positions. You stayed home.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the community change at this time? Like, say, through the 60s?
Through the 60s. It really went to change during integration time.
How did it change?
Well, we started getting some new books. All before, we had the books that Seminole High had, which was all white. And half of the pages were out of them, and it was all written on and whatnot. But in the 60s, when I knew people going to school, didn't get the hand-me-down books all the time. They got a few new. But we never really got everything. We never got the new set. And especially when I was going to school, you didn't get the new set. We sometimes got teachers, white teachers, who were interested in, when integration came in, we got some white teachers who were really interested in the students. And then we got some that were just there because they had a job. We know that to be facts. And we got a few black principals, but not as many as we should have.
And did you see a change in Goldsboro?
Did you see a change in Goldsboro? Yeah, the kids didn't have to walk to school anymore. They rode buses to school. Because at one time, I remember at one time when I was real young, my mama drove kids to school from Midway and Canaan. That's the way they got to school. She, hauled them in her car. She rode them in her car. She picked them up every morning for school. They lived in Canaan City or Midway, and their parents paid a little stipend for her picking them up and bringing them the crooms to school. And then along about the 60s and whatnot was when they started getting them, 50s getting buses and stuff like that. But I do remember years, when I was a little something, that she had to pick these kids up and see that they got to school. So, things did improve. They gave us buses. Kids used to be bused from Oviedo and Altamont to Sanford to school as during that time when they didn't have no high schools and those other places. They had to bus them over here. But when they got Lyman and places like that, and they did. I know in 54 they were still busing them. When I was going to school, they were still busing them over here. You know, but that's a long time history.
So, can you describe to me a typical day in your parents' grocery store?
Typical day in my parents' grocery store. Well, after my father passed, which was in 43, and I was 7 years old, 6 years old, something like that. My mama took completely control of this place. She opened it up at 4 o'clock in the morning. She closed it at 11 at night. She was back up that morning to meet those crew who were finna get on those trucks to go to work. The meat would come in fresh on Thursdays. And they come in like the whole cow or half a cow. She would cut that up, fix it like it was supposed to be. Pork chops, cut it like it's supposed to be. One of my brothers would do the chickens, buy the chickens whole and wring the necks off of them, had the hot water to clean them, pour them, pull the feathers out of them. I learned how to do stuff like that. And kept our business open. And we'd have fresh chickens. Didn't cut them up, but you'd clean them and have them ready for them to get the whole chicken. And we sold kerosene. So, what else we sold? Sold nearly everything you needed in a grocery store. Until she got sick, and then she rented it out to somebody else. And then after a while, we closed it down completely. But it has been other things. It has been a cab stand. It has been a shoe shine parlor. It has been a sundry and all of that. And I just refuse now to put anything in there because I'm just not going to have them walking around the corner. Instead of using the bathroom, use the outside, because they have no respect for you anymore. So I just literally say, put a lock on it. I now loan it out to this church down in Altamont. They got a storage in there. And I don't get anything for it. I don't even see them from 1 year to the other. All I know is they got this stuff stored in there. Because I don't charge them for it. But other than that, her typical day was like 4 in the morning to 11 at night. And that was because she was servicing the community who really needed her. Because during that time, people would come in and get the lunch meat and stuff to make carry with them to make their sandwiches when they go to work, ride to work. And they would ride over to Lake County to work, Wasdale and all places like that, on the back of this truck. And she did it until she couldn't do it anymore. Then she got sick and she couldn't do it anymore. Because cutting up a big hog and kind of handling stuff like that, she did tough. Hands and wrists gave out on. Yep. Wasn't a whole lot of money in the store like that, but we managed to live and pay the bills.
And what about your brothers? What did they end up doing?
One of my brothers went to the Navy. The other one went to the Army. James went to the Navy. He came back. He was married. He got married. His children live. One of his daughters lives around the corner. Son live on 12th Street. One live out Sanford Avenue. One live in New Jersey. And he's deceased, though. And his wife is also deceased. But we stayed a close-knit family. And we are still a close-knit family. His children are more like my children, because they're closer to me. And that one around that corner, and that one around that corner, they'll get here in a minute to see about me. But we're close-knit family. They are married, but, you know, we all still one big, happy family. And my nephew around there, he's been in the service for 20-some years, and he retired from the service. And the one in New Jersey, she retired from her job in New Jersey and moved to Georgia. That one around the corner, retired from the school system. And the other one retired from working at one of those big factories out there. And everybody's doing all right.
Happy to hear that.
Nobody wealthy, but you can find out where I can get some increase in my check. I appreciate you telling me.
Since I figured out.
Please let me know. Call me right away.
Oh, definitely. So, I'm going to start wrapping this up.
Okay.
So, I guess my final few questions. One of them would be, you've mentioned it before, the difference between the youth from then and now.
Mm-hmm.
What other way would you compare Sanford from when you were younger to now?
Respect. We have so many young people who don't respect the elderly now. They will pass you and won't open their mouths. And we live in a community where people speak to one another and know one another. I don't have to know your name to say how you doing today. But you can be standing at the end of the sidewalk out there, and they walk that close to you, almost walk over you, and won't open their mouths. And won't say, excuse me, and won't say, sorry, how y'all doing? Or whatever. But I guess in that area when I grew up, and others around here grew up, you said good morning or good evening. Whether I knew you or not, I said it. You can call it old school if you want to. But old school wasn't so bad back there. I wouldn't be living to be the age I am today. Because along with being in the old school, you were taught things by your family. You were taught things at church. You were taught things at school. You were cared about at school. You were cared about the neighbor around the corner, because she knew that if you didn't speak when you come by here, or they caught you out there fighting or starting something, that you gonna equally get that when you got home till you didn't do it. But now, these young people don't have too many people who care about them. The parents don't sit down and eat with them. No time. They on their way out the door with a sandwich in their hand. They don't see the parent in the morning when they go to school. Don't see the parent at night whenever they come in. They demand what they want from the parent, and the parent pleasing the child, but you don't please the child every time he wants something. I didn't get a new pair of shoes because I saw them down there and they cost $100, and that child got to have them because this so-and-so child got to have them. I wore the best of clothes from a store down there called Cowan's, where we had an account. We didn't have no money. We had an account. We paid on that account every month. But I didn't go down there and get the highest price shoes it was. I got what I needed. And I didn't get them because your mom bought you a pair. I got them because I needed them. Your mom probably could have paid $100 for a pair, but my mama could have paid $100 for a pair. So the difference in the kids nowadays is parents is the reason for a lot of it. They're trying to please the kid instead of instilling in the kid. You know, you have to work for some of this stuff. You mean to tell me I'm going to let you stand around on the street all day on the corner, smoke your reefer, and you're going to come in here and lay up and eat my food and lay up in my bed, and I ask you to cut the yard and you can't even cut the yard? I ain't got time. I got to go do something. Do what? You don't have a job. So whatever you're going to do, let them feed you. Let them buy your clothes. Parents got something to do with it. Both sets. Back then when I grew up, parents was involved. Now, you have very few parents involved. I have a niece who has a granddaughter going to Seminole High School. She say, she's in the Dazzle group, which costs a lot of money to be in. And she said, Aunt Marva, it ain't but 3 black parents come out there to see about the kids. She said, and then not only the black parents, there's some white ones don't come see about theirs. But they want them to be in this thing. And when they have the fundraiser, oh, I can't do that. No, I can work beside you. I'm not looking at your color. I don't care what your nationality is. We doing this to be successful for the kids. But we got some parents like that right now. And it's not only black ones. Other flavors, as I say. They don't want to do it. My niece travels with her granddaughter, she said. She, if I can put my money in it, I can sure go to see what's going on. And she does it too. But, like I say, you have to check the parents out too. Ain't you tired of me talking?
Never.
Yes, you are.
I grew up being taught when wisdom speaks, you listen.
Wisdom, yeah, man.
So, one last thing. Is there anything else you wanted to say? Comments, anything that comes to mind?
I could talk to you a long time if I took Goldsboro street by street. And there are many, many other historical people in Goldsboro. But it would take a long time for me to tell you about them, because I could take the next street and get you about five people off it, and I could take 11th Street and get you some, and I could take 10th Street and get you some. Because Sanford was a community that, after I got grown, I really learned a lot of people. Because I worked for the newspaper. I was an insurance person. So I got to go all over community. I could even collect an insurance in Midway and Canaan City and Georgetown and all those places. So I got to know a lot of people. Not really, really close to them, but know them. So I could name a whole lot of other families and successful stuff that has come out. We've had a lot of graduates from Crooms Academy and Crooms High School to go away and become professionals and have been successful in what they do. It was a shame that they couldn't come back home and do it. But you have to do what you do where you find what best for you. But it's a lot of history in Goldsboro. A lot of history.
Well, thank you for your time.
Mm-hmm.